Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
So welcome to the Labor Forum. Today we have
Thank you, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I think the volume is too loud. I think this about get it right here. Okay, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio out of Wilder. It's a presentation produced by me. The show is produced by me. I do everything on the show. So if there's anything wrong with the show, you got a gripe with the show, with me or anything, it's all me. I mean, what can I say? I'm the one you have to deal with. But whether you have positive feedback, I'm pretty sure we will get some positive feedback on the show because it's a great show. It's a good show. I enjoy doing it. I really do. I mean, and this is what I want to tell people. You know, I mean, find something that you enjoy doing and do it. There is no greater appreciation. There's no greater fun in doing something that you enjoy doing. Over 80 to 90% of the people in America and around the world are working jobs that they do not like. That's the truth. I'm pretty sure you know that. People are working jobs they hate. They go to work every day hating the job that they go to because they feel that they can do a lot more with their lives. Find something that you enjoy doing and do it. Stop working at a job you hate. Find a way to get out of there, to get away from there. Find a way to do what you want to do, provide a need, do something you love. If you have a talent and work for yourself, do for yourself. Stop doing for other people because there's no doubt about it. When you're working for someone else, you're working for another company or industry, corporations, you're making them rich. And like I said on so many shows, you never know when your job, it doesn't matter what you're doing, your job will be sent overseas. Your job will be taken over by robots. This is no joke. This is coming. We've had a lot of presidents who have signed these awful trade deals, including President Obama, and all of these trade deals, the only thing they do is ship your job overseas. And these presidents try to spin it as if it's helping you and I and the rest of the workers of America when it's not. How can these awful trade deals help you or me by sending our jobs overseas and leaving us unemployed? This is happening every day and all the time. Companies are leaving Chicago. Manufacturing jobs are being moved overseas. China, Vietnam, for cheap labor. I mean, if you're making $15 an hour, that job, if you're making $15 an hour answering phones, that job is one day is going to be taken over by a robot. A robot is going to be answering that phone, not you. Robots do not ask for raises. Robots do not get hungry. They do not take lunches. They do not bitch at the boss. They don't belong to unions. They will not belong to any unions. Jobs in the United States are in total jeopardy. Believe me. You think you're out of work now. It's nothing like what's going to happen. It is nothing like what's going to happen. Jobs. And if you, let's say if you're lucky enough to find a job. Let's say if you are lucky enough to find a job. You're going to have to go through at least 5 or 6 job interviews. You're going to have to talk to about 5 or 6 people for that one position. Believe me, it has happened to me. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I was applying for a job years ago, and I couldn't believe how everybody I had to talk to. If one of those people had turned me down, I would have not gotten that job. I had to make them all like me. I had to, you know what I did? I just smiled all the time and greeted everybody, you know, respectfully, and somehow I got the job. But after all of that was over, after all of that, you know, smiling and kissing up, after all of that was over, I'm telling myself, damn, I had to go through about 5 or 6 people before I even was considered for this job, for that job, actually. And that's what's happening now. I hear it all the time. People say, well, I have a second interview. I got a third interview. I got a fourth interview. It's tough. And some of these jobs are low-paying jobs, and they take you through the hoop to just talk to somebody. And a lot of these interviews that you go to for these jobs to try to get a job, the interview is actually designed not to hire you. The interview is designed to tell you, hey, we'll give you a call. Bye. When you go to an interview, they don't want to hire you. They want to say, hey, wow, bye, next. But if you are so good during that one-on-one interview with the employer and yourself, and they're going to be surprised. They're going to be very surprised. And, you know, and then they're going to say, hey, wow, come in tomorrow for a second interview. You have the second interview. At the second interview, the guy or girl is going to say, come in tomorrow. I want you to talk to this person over here. That'll be your third interview. You go on your third interview, this other person. Well, you're going to have to talk to another person. Go up on the floor there. Talk to the people on the floor. See if they like you. If they like you, you got the job. It's a mess, you know. I mean, you know, but that's what's happening. Don't take my word for it. That is what's happening. Jobs are readily out there, but they are going to be like pulling out your hair trying to get these jobs. Because if one of those people at one of those interviews that you're having do not think that you're going to fit in, you will not get that job. And you've just wasted a lot of your time and probably some money going back and forth to that particular job. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest is Ken Elliott and Andreas Jones. Jr. Show, hopefully later on. And I want to thank all of my guests during the week who have been gracious and to put up with me, actually, who have been so gracious to come on the show and give their input on whatever they're doing and to inform you, my audience, because that's what it's all about, is teaching and informing you, and also teaching and informing me, because, you know, hey, I'm not the brightest bulb in the room, but, you know, I do my best. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. I think I'm on Facebook. Yeah. Yeah, I'm on Facebook. Check me out on the Facebook. A lot of my guests are Facebook. I mean, nowadays, who isn't on Facebook? I mean, I've heard people say, well, I found my whole family on Facebook. I mean, who isn't on Facebook? I mean, when you're walking down the street or you're taking a subway train or people out on the expressway, they're looking at their phones. They shouldn't be. But everybody who's looking at their phones, whether it's an iPhone, smartphone, cell phone, or whatever you want to call it, when you see people looking down at their cell phone, they're on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. You know, I mean, I can walk up beside some person or something on their phone looking, they're on Facebook. Then I look over and I said, wow, that person could be a friend of mine. I don't know. But everybody seemed to be on Facebook. And Facebook controls everything. I mean, they control. Do not think they do not. One of the things I hate about Facebook, I think it's a great social media, but one of the things that I hate about Facebook, I mean, I've created about almost 100 groups, and people throw me in the groups every time I look around before I even realize that I'm in a group, you know. But I don't mind being in a group because I want people to know what I'm doing and what I'm trying to do. Then there's some people who are pissed off. Don't put me in a group, you know. But one of the things I dislike about Facebook, they go after people who are not doing as much as some of the other people on Facebook are doing. I mean, I've created a lot of groups, and a lot of times I have to go in these groups every day to clean them out, because somebody's always putting up some filth, sex, porn, nudity, erotica on sites that are actually meant for advertising your book or talking about writing or whatever. It's something to do with writing, but it's just so much vile and nastiness and trashiness on Facebook, you wouldn't believe it. And I have to clean out my groups from this vile and filth. But it's like an everyday thing with me, you know, and I'm pretty sure with a lot of other people who have created groups. And I'm also on LinkedIn, and I find that LinkedIn is like Facebook and LinkedIn is two different apples and oranges. It's an apple and an orange. They're different. They have a different kind of it's a different demographic, you know. LinkedIn has more professional people, highly educated people than Facebook. That's no doubt about that. And I found that out just by being a part of both of those social networking websites. I'm not putting one down over the other. I'm just stating the facts. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We have authors Ken Elliott and Andreas Jones to be on the show. They're scheduled. And let's hope they show up. If not, there's nothing I can't do because it's my show, right? All right. Mitt Romney, the failed candidate of 2012, Obama beat his ass, and now he's after Donald Trump. And he's saying that Donald Trump is a clown. We all know that. He's telling us that Donald Trump is a fraud. We all know that. He's telling us that Donald Trump had bankruptcies. He got out of going to the military. We all know that Mitt Romney is not telling us anything we don't know. We don't know. But the fact is that the Republican establishment, they are trying to stop Donald Trump. They are trying to stop Donald Trump. And Donald Trump blasted back at Mitt Romney. I'm pretty sure you saw it or you heard about it. He blasted back and said Mitt Romney begged him to endorse him or something. Mitt Romney would have been on his knees if Donald would have told him to get on his knees. Oh, man, what kind of crap is this? This is the presidency of the United States. It just gets lower and lower. The Republicans are taking politics even messier and lower. And than they have already. It's just horrible what they're doing politics. Mitt Romney also took a swing at Hillary Clinton, saying that she's untrustworthy and should not be nowhere near the White House. Wow, this is just getting crazier. This is getting sillier and stupider. But you know what? This is not funny. The way the Republicans are just making the United States of America look like the Three Stooges. You know, it's just appalling that these people are doing this to the U.S. You know, so Donald Trump is going to be the nominee. I don't think, you know what, all of these attacks on Donald Trump by the Republican establishment, I think it's going to backfire. I mean, a lot of people are going to see, hey, wow, they're attacking Donald Trump. They are attacking my candidate. They are attacking Donald Trump. That's just going to make people gravitate more to Donald Trump because he's being attacked. And some people may feel that he's being attacked unfairly by his own party. You know, so this may not work. We'll just have to wait and see. But my guess is Donald Trump is going to win even more states in the coming weeks and months. And as I speak, they are having their debate tonight, the Republican debate. Ben Carson has dropped out. You probably have heard. You might have heard. You should have heard. Ben Carson will not be at the debate tonight. He should have been, in my estimation, Ben Carson should have been gone a long time ago. He should have been. Oh, he's going to be fine, folks. He can write books. He can write books. He can give speeches, visit colleges and universities. He can get another job. He can be on Fox News or the Sunday shows. So Ben Carson will be fine. But I don't think they're going to let him practice medicine again. He has too many malpractice suits against his ass. But we all know his name. We all know who he is. He will do fine. He's probably going to make more money than he's ever made in his life, even if he had become president. So my thing is, so what I want to say is, good luck, Mr. Ben Carson. You were interesting. Not presidential, but you were interesting. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-877-1762. If you want to chime in, if you want to sit back and relax and listen to me and my guest, Ken Elliott and Andrea Jones, they should be along any minute now. Let's hope, okay? Let's hope so. All right, I will be right back, folks. Stay with me. Let me see what we got here. Break music. All right.
A lot of people I know think of Jehovah's Witnesses as nothing more than the religious people who sometimes knock on your door because they want to talk to you about God. And that's true, that is something they do, but they don't really know anything about Jehovah's Witnesses' beliefs. So let's fix that right now. Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept blood transfusions. Ever. Imagine you're in a car accident and you get taken to the hospital. They need to give you a blood transfusion so you can live. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you will say no to that. Even worse, they won't allow their children to accept the transfusions. This prohibition has led to reports of Jehovah's Witnesses and their kids dying more times than I can remember. So why is this a rule? Like, where did this even come from? Jewish law forbade eating blood. And the New Testament in Acts chapter 15, verses 28-29 carried that command over into Christianity. By the way, that same passage also tells you must avoid eating meat from animals that were strangled to death. Now, obviously, most Jews will accept blood transfusions because they understand that eating blood and getting a medical blood transfusion to save your life are completely different things. But Jehovah's Witnesses don't feel that way. They are both one and the same, even if it means saving your life. If you commit what the church views as a serious sin, and a group of church elders finds you unrepentant, you will be disfellowshipped. Not just kicked out of the church, but disfellowshipped, which means no one in the church can ever talk to you ever again. By the way, that could include your family. I know former Jehovah's Witnesses who haven't spoken to their parents in years because of this rule. Basically, if you're disfellowshipped, your family could talk to you about non-church-related things, like how their grandkids are doing or something. But that's it. And when those family members are heavily invested in the church, there really isn't much stuff that's non-church-related that they can talk to you about. So once you're in the church, leaving it basically means saying goodbye to your entire life as you knew it. By the way, what are some of the serious sins that could get you disfellowshipped? Getting a blood transfusion, going to another church, using tobacco, homosexual activity, or openly disagreeing with church leadership. Oh, and not believing in God. They believe the world's ending soon, and only they will be saved. The Watchtower Society, which governs the faith, says that Jesus began ruling over earth from heaven in 1914. October 5th or 6th, to be more precise. They believe that Armageddon is happening soon, and that only those who accept Jehovah's Witness teachings will be saved. Of course, they also said all this about 1914, 1925, and 1975, so their track record for predicting the end of the world isn't very good. Oh, and in case you're wondering, there are about 8 million people who are witnesses, and like 7 billion who are not. So, odds are, you're screwed. Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate their birthdays. Why? Well, for one, they think the day of your death is way more important than the day that you were born. So who cares? Also, the Bible only mentions birthdays twice, and both times someone died in the story. So clearly, God's sending a sign for us to not celebrate them. Even though dogs are mentioned in the Bible dozens of times, never in a good way, but there's no prohibition in the church on having a pet. Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate other holidays either. They don't celebrate Christmas because that's Jesus' birthday. And like I said, they don't do birthdays. Easter? No, thank you. Eggs and bunnies are just a corruption of Christianity. Thanksgiving? Forget it. It's not like Jesus celebrated Thanksgiving. Arbor Day? No, that's tree worship. And only God deserves to be worshipped. Halloween? Obviously. Basically, there's only one holiday you're allowed to celebrate as a Jehovah's Witness, and it's the date that Jesus died, which is around Good Friday, but it's not actually Good Friday. Jehovah's Witnesses are currently governed by 7 dudes. The governing body formulates doctrine for Jehovah's Witnesses around the world. Women are not allowed. They don't have any special qualifications, despite being able to set policy for millions of followers. And they're appointed for life. Jehovah's Witnesses are discouraged from getting a higher education. Preaching is supposed to be your true calling, and college would just get in the way of that. So while you might be able to get away with learning a trade, church elders actively discourage you from going to a university. They don't want you to be part of a secular world, and they know how tempting it can be when you're surrounded by people who don't feel that God is watching over them at all times. More importantly, a lot of people who go to college are taught to think critically and examine their beliefs. They take science and philosophy classes, and some of them eventually shed their faith. And that's the risk the church just doesn't want you to take. Jehovah's Witnesses were the original pledge protesters. I feel like I should say something nice about the Witnesses. The first major legal battle with the Pledge of Allegiance involved the Jehovah's Witness family in the 1930s. A little boy said he didn't want to salute the flag because his religion taught him not to bow down or pledge allegiance to anything other than God. He was expelled from school for that, and the court said that was the right decision. Years later, kids from a witness family in Pennsylvania also protested saluting the flag, and their case actually made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the justices voted 8-1 against the family. It was a horrible decision, and it was actually reversed by the Supreme Court in another case a few years later. But Jehovah's Witnesses do deserve credit for being the first to take a stand against the Pledge of Allegiance. Today, it's usually atheists who make the news for protesting the pledge, but historically, that hasn't always been the case. They did it. It wasn't easy. They got harassed when the cases were going on, and yet they stood strong on this issue. So good for them. There are so many resources out there for ex-Jehovah's Witnesses or people who are in the faith looking to get out. Did you know there's a subreddit just for ex-Jehovah's Witnesses? It's awesome. There are also several websites that expose the church's beliefs, and they're almost all written by people who used to be part of the church and managed to escape. My name is Hemant Mehta, and I write at friendlyatheist.com. What do you want to see a video about? Let us know in the comments below, and we'll be sure to check it out. And don't forget to subscribe.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Sorry for the dead air. I didn't know this thing had ended so quickly. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live on Black Talk Radio. Here we go. All righty. Be right back, folks. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you. Caught on tape, another police officer, Baltimore police officer, a school police cop is caught on video cell phone tape, and he's slapping a student in school. I mean, he's just slapping the hell out of this kid. Then after he gets through slapping the kid just about falls to the floor, and the guy kicks him up his butt. I mean, police brutality is just rampant. It's just out of control, folks. Even though with all this technology, all the tapes, the videotapes, everybody's got a cell phone. There's going to be all kinds of people videotaping every kind of incident there is. I don't know why some of these cops don't realize that. It doesn't matter if the technology. It doesn't matter that you can videotape them being abusive. They're going to still be abusive. You know, they are totally ignorant if they don't think that their behavior is being watched and monitored. I mean, this guy just slapped And every time I see something like this, my heart just sinks. Because the police, there are some good people on the police department. There's no doubt about it. But there's also a lot of bad, rotten apples on the force that should not be there. And I do think if a good police officer know of a bad police officer, he or she should turn that person in, you know. And it's just awful the way the brutality it just never ends. It never ends, and it's not a funny thing. I don't mean to laugh about it, but it's not funny at all. This guy looks like he was about 300 pounds, and this kid was maybe 100 pounds, and this guy was just pounding on this kid. Kicked him in the buttocks. I know this guy doesn't have his job, and every time a cop gets caught doing something like this, they always tell us that they had a good excuse for doing it. You know, but if it wasn't for the videotape, these guys would get away scot-clean with brutality. They would lie in court. They would lie on their police reports about what really happened. We know that. Thank God for videotape, because videotape, in my mind, does not lie if it's straight and concise. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Block Talk Radio. I'm right here. Let's go to the phone to see what's going on at the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Yeah, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go ahead. Are we there? Something's wrong? Is it on my end or your end? All right,
hello?
Maybe you can call back. All right. Okay. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I will be right back, folks. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead. You made it.
Oh, yeah, this is Andreas.
All right. Andreas Jones.
Yes.
All right, welcome to the show. Tell us about yourself, and what do you think we ought to know?
My name is Andreas Jones. I reside here in Atlanta, Georgia. I am a business growth strategist, helping small business owners and entrepreneurs, grow their business, take it to the next level. Because I truly believe that every small business owner went into business, with a dream of financial and time freedom, and what happens 8 out of 10 times, it becomes another day job. And, the numbers tell the story that 8 in 10 small businesses fail. And so my goal is, as a growth strategist, is to reduce that number I grew up in a family of business-oriented people, and I know firsthand of the freedom that having a growing business allows you, but also know the pains of what a failing business could cause you.
Yeah, yeah. So how would you, let's say if somebody's just starting out in business and they really don't have a business sense of how to run their business, but they know they run that business, and their business is basically doing well, how would you advise that person to take that business to the next level?
Well, to take that business to the next level, we have three things that I normally look at. First, I look at the business model to see, you know, what's their value proposition, what they're offering to the market. I also look into the market that they're in to see, you know, how profitable that market is. And I'll also kind of examine that leader, that owner, to see if they have that mindset, that internal strength to take it on, because the business can't grow unless the business owner is growing. You know, the owner can't outgrow the business. If the owner is growing, the business is growing. But a lot of times you see the business outgrows the owner, and then it becomes overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know what? I've always tell people the best thing they can do, you know, especially in this day and age, is to get their own business. Do things for themselves. Give up that job. Find something that you love to do. Do it and make money doing it. What do you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, growing up, I had a mentor, and he gave me some great advice. He said, you know, Andreas, you could do one or two things. You could work at a job and build someone else's empire, or you could create your own business and build your own empire.
Yeah.
And I chose to build my own empire because, you know, building someone else's empire wasn't on my agenda. That wasn't for me, for my life, for my dreams and my goals. And, you know, when he gave me that advice, it kind of lit a fire into me to kind of start searching myself to see, you know, trying to do different assessments to make sure that when I go into business, I'm not going into business just because I want to go into business. I want to go into business because I want to be successful. I want to create.
You want to make money.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you want to make money. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with having a job. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, because we all have to start out somewhere. Everybody, before you have your own business, you're going to have probably worked for someone else.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And
some of the greatest businesses came out of people working in jobs and out of their frustrations and opportunities that they saw, but they couldn't address in that company. They started their own company. And we have some great businesses around now. You know, we got apps and services for literally everything you can think of. And, you know, 9 out of 10 times those people were in a job and they saw an opportunity and they were frustrated and they were like, okay, how can I fix this frustration? And, you know, created a business that fixed that frustration. And in the process of fixing that frustration for not only themselves but other people, they in turn need money, because if you solve a big enough problem for enough people, you're going to get rich. That's
right.
That's how it is. That's fact.
You hit it right on the head. You are going to make it, because once you supply that need out there, and there is a need, you know, people are going to gravitate towards you, and they're going to pay you for it. You know, so
Absolutely.
I always tell people, get out there, start your own business. I mean, you do not work in a job for more than 10 years, because, you know, that should be enough for you to actually, maybe too much, for you to actually start growing your own business. Because you don't want to keep making this guy rich, because, you know, if you're in a job for too long, 20 or 30 years, they're just going to kick you to the curb and you just you have nothing. You know,
Absolutely.
Because there's too many
Absolutely.
Jobs out there. too many jobs out there. They are taking advantage of your labor, your expertise, and taking credit for your ideas. Why would you let somebody take credit for your ideas? Do things for yourself. You know what I'm saying?
So
put that effort towards your own agendas.
It's a great story regarding that. So have you ever been to like a clothes store, JCPenney, Macy's, and you see those things, the white things they have on the clothes that they have to like take the magnet to take it off? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna say that thing that on your clothes. I know the guy who created that thing. I mean, they have sold billions of those things to clothes store. But here's the funny thing. He created it while he was working for somebody. He has a patent for it, but the company made all the money.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, now, there you go. There you go.
You know. He has a patent. His name is on the patent, but the company he made it for made all the money. He was just an employee.
Wow, you know, that's just astonishing. So let's say if someone goes into business and they would probably need somebody like you to tell them, you know, how to take that business forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of failed business out here. There's a lot of good people, great people, talented people have done some great things in business, and it just went under. A lot of business, as soon as they open, they go under. So how would you stop somebody from doing that?
Well, I think that comes from one or two things. So firstly, you got to make sure that your business model is congruent your level of effectiveness. So in other words, you can't go into business and say you want a 10x your profits, but you have a 1x mindset. It doesn't fit, you know?
Yeah.
So most of the time, what a lot of people, they build their business backwards. They build the business first and forget about themselves. And if you look at all the successful, you know, business owners, CEOs, the 99% of them, they are so deep in self-improvement and self-help, because they know that if they're at their best, then their business is at their best, their thinking is at their best, their creativity is at their best. And so a lot of people, you know, start a business and they get into the daily routine of trying to build a business, and the business is growing, but they're not growing. And that's where that disconnect comes, and that's where the failures come in.
Okay. All right. Have you written a book?
Yes, so yeah, I written a book called Business Leader Combat, and you know, that derived from my time in the military. I spent 9 years in the military, served in Afghanistan, served in Iraq, and so I just used some of those principles that to help me, because I started and failed a couple of businesses myself, and my mentor was like, "What do you know?" I was like, "You know, well, the military was a big part of my life," and he said, "Then use it." You know?
Yeah, use it. Great.
And so I started, you know, self-inventorying myself and start picking these things out. And then the book I wrote was actually for me. It was a guide for me to build my business. And I wrote the book, and I shared it with my mentor. He's like, "You need to release this." So I did, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's called
Business Leader Combat.
Yeah, don't keep it to yourself. Let everybody know.
And it's called, you know, Business Leader Combat, How to Get and Keep an Edge Over Your Competitors and Win on the Business Battlefield.
Okay, and where can we find that book at? On Amazon?
I'm actually doing a pre-launch right now. So I can I'll definitely want to take care of your listeners, George, and they can go to businessleadercombat.com. Get their free copy there.
Oh, it's free? Okay, I'm going to go right there after the show is over.
Yeah, businessleadercombat.com.
Oh, no problem. Something else I wanted to ask. Are you working on a newer book? Are you working on something else?
No, that I'm in the process of releasing that book full scale, but I'm doing a pre-launch.
Okay.
So I'm doing the pre-launch right now with the Business Leader Combat, but going forward, that would be going into full launch pretty soon. And
okay.
So Go ahead.
Okay. What motivates you to want to help other people to make their business successful?
My motivation is that I've met so many people, you know, during my time in the Army, in the corporate world,
mm-hmm.
and people have great dreams, big dreams, man, but they go into business and, you know, it doesn't all come together. And sometimes all they need is just that outside look to kind of guide them along the way. And
yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, I just thought about it. I live in Georgia. And in 2015, there were 10,000 new business applications for 2015.
Wow. Okay.
And if the numbers are correct, 8 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 2 years. So out of those 10,000, 8,000, if you go by the numbers, are supposed to fail. Now, that's a huge
yeah.
opportunity for me, a huge motivation for me to see that number go down. Because, you know, as I
yeah.
said, I've seen the impact of what a thriving business can do for you, for your life, for your family.
Yes.
And I've also yes. see the stress, the depression, the meltdowns of what a failing business could cause. And
yeah.
I wouldn't want that in anyone to go through a failing business situation. So, you know, I've studied, I've connected with people and just try to help. My goal is to reduce that 80% failure rate. It's too high. There's too many great dreams out there for that number to be that high.
It is. It's a lot of great dreams out here. And you know what? I'm still dreaming myself. And I'm pretty sure
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of other people out here that are still dreaming. And it's a great thing to have your own business. It's a great feeling. I mean, you feel like your independence has finally arrived. You do, because you've
exactly.
let that 9-to-5, you've let that 9-to-5 go. And you're out there, you're putting all your talents, your efforts into your own business, into your dreams. You're not giving that to someone else for them to make them rich. You're going to try and do things for yourself. And along the line, you're going to help others down the road and try to get their dream going.
Absolutely. And I think that's the true essence of any business person.
Mm-hmm.
they don't just go into business for themselves. They go into business to help people, help others, provide a service,
yeah.
provide a product that helps people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence of doing business. You know, so not only can you, me as
yeah.
a business person, not only can I build my business with my services, but also along with those services, I'm impacting lives. I'm impacting families. I got clients who, you know, said I'm
yeah.
very, you know, my business was causing a big strain on my family. My wife was not happy. My kids weren't seeing getting enough time with me, and there was a lot of stressors, and that derived from the business not going the way, you know, that they wanted to go, and it just causes a strain. And so
yeah.
if I have the opportunity to help someone, and that helps the business, me helping them, their business, that affects their family, that's a great feeling to me at the end of the day.
Yeah, I imagine so. And I would think you, Andreas Jones, I would think you are in big demand.
Yes.
I mean, what I mean is there's a lot of people out here opening businesses, and a lot of them would like to learn more about how to be a successful business. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
where you would come in at.
Yes, yes. So, you know, my expertise is not telling you how to run your business. My business is to get
oh,
you
no,
to,
no, no,
to
no,
get,
no,
no, no, no. No, I'm saying that my expertise is helping them because, you know, I work with people in medical field. I have no medical experience. But the business principles and business systems, they don't change that often. The principles are the same. You just have to know how to apply them.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're listening to Andreas Jones. He is a business expert. If you have a business, you need help, you're going down, and you want to rise up. This is the guy to check out. And where can we find you? You have a website, blog, or whatever?
Yeah, so you can visit Elite Affinity Partners. That's my my website. It's eliteaffinitypartners.com.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
No, I was going to say you're still working on getting your book out.
Yeah, so for your listeners, they could go to businessleadercombat.com and get a free copy there.
Free copy, yeah. Okay. All right, Andrea Jones, thanks for being on the show, man. You were great. I learned a lot.
Oh, thank you, George. Thank you, George, for having me.
No problem. Take care. All right, that was Andrea Jones on the George Wilder Jr. Show. He was great. If you're starting your own business, that's the guy to go check out. And if you need his information, just listen to this show and podcast and archived, and you will be in touch with Andrea Jones. He was great. He was wonderful. All right, let's take a break right here. We'll be right back, folks. Thanks.
And this is 7 ways to get more reviews to your books. Now, as you know, the more reviews that you have on your books, the more sales you're going to make. Now, that's because, first of all, you have more social proof. So you have more people that have gone through and they have said that they've liked your book. And so when other people are going and they're looking at books to purchase, they see other people that have spoke up and said, yes, this book is great. So there's less of a risk for them to go buy the book because they know lots of other people have liked it. So that's the first reason. Also, as you probably know, on Amazon.com, there's a function where you can search by reviews. So if someone, let's say you're writing a scrapbooking book and someone types in scrapbooking, they can sort by where the people with the best reviews, the most amount of them, come up highest on the search engines. And so if you can get more reviews that are positive, you'll come up higher and, again, get more sales. So no matter how you slice it, the more reviews you have, the better sales you're going to have. And so that's why this video is dedicated to helping you find different ways to get more reviews for your books. So let's get started. The first way to get more reviews sounds simple, but a lot of people don't do it, which is just to ask your colleagues, friends, or family who have bought your book to leave you a review. If they haven't purchased your book yet and you feel like it'll help them, then ask them to purchase the book too. But it's just taking a couple seconds to flick off an email to them and ask them to take 2 minutes of their time and leave you a review. And a lot of times your friends, family, colleagues, they'll be happy to do it, especially if they like the book, because it's supporting you, and they know how much it helps. I mean, everyone, it's common sense how much better a book will sell when you have more reviews. So you might be nervous or shy to ask or whatever, but just write the email and hit send. That's it. Just all you have to do is take 5 seconds of courage to hit send. And I know I've gotten emails from people asking for reviews, and it's no problem. You know, just go through. If I bought the book, I'll leave a review. So I do that all the time with my friends. So that's the first tip.
That's what I'd be.
Second tip, ask in your book. A lot of people don't do this, but I like to have a script at the end of each of my books where I just say, you know, hey, you've gotten to the end of this book, so you must like it. I appreciate you reading this far. And, you know, as a self-published author, it's often really tough to market my book the way that the big publishing houses can. And so if you can take a few minutes to just, like, less than 5 minutes to leave me a review, I'd really appreciate it. I give a link to the book, and it would really help me out a lot. And I know, you know, since you're here at the end, that you've liked it. So thank you again for going through and getting so much out of this. And that's it. And then people are often much easier to leave the review then, because you've reminded them. They're all the way at the end of the book. They've clearly liked the content. It's 5 minutes out of their day or less to write you the review, and it really helps you out a lot. They now have rapport with you. They like you because you've given them content that they got all the way to the end for. So this is just an easy way to pick up reviews without having to do anything but just put in the request at the end. The next tip is to have a free day on Amazon. So the picture here is KDP Select. Like, when you go and enroll your book in kdp.amazon.com, there's going to be this section where you can enroll your book in KDP Select, where you basically give Amazon access to your book for 90 days where you don't publish it anywhere else digitally. But in return, you have 5 free days where you can have your book on Amazon, and people can download your book for free. Now, this is really cool because it's a lot easier to get people to download a book for free than it is to get them to purchase the book. So you start to get a whole bunch more leverage and a whole bunch more downloaders than you normally would, and you always have more people that end up leaving reviews. Your odds are just greater. So that's that. Yes, you can also write for your free day in the book. You know, I know you got this book for free. It was my way of wanting to give back. If you could do me a favor by leaving me a review, if you like this, I'd really appreciate it. So that's the third way. Your fourth tip is to do a Goodreads giveaway. Now, if you're not familiar with Goodreads yet, it's a social network for readers. There's over 12 million different readers on there, and they just love to read and talk about the books they're reading. And Goodreads has a function where you can give away copies of your book. It has to be physical copies of your book. And you would just run the giveaway just saying, I'm doing this giveaway in hopes of getting reviews for my book. Obviously, they're not required, but it really helped me a lot to get the reviews. I want to start hearing what people think. So you do the book. You can give as many copies as you want. So it could be from 1 to 10 to whatever. I believe Goodreads recommends it's either 3 or 10. I think it's 10 that they recommend. And then you have a whole bunch of people that come and apply for your book to get your book. So the side note is, the side benefit of that is that you're getting a whole bunch of people to even hear about your book, and then you just give away the copies. So you can, to get physical copies of your book, just upload your book onto createspace.com, just order them the copies and then ship it to them, and the likelihood of people leaving you reviews after using Goodreads is very, very high. So if you want to hear more about Goodreads, I have a course at getmorebooksales.com that talks all about it. The next strategy is to search for top reviewers. So if you do the search string right here, top 1,000 reviewer, whatever niche you're in, email, and then just copy the rest of it, the email and the site. Basically, it's going to go and it's going to find the top 1,000 reviewers that are in your niche for Amazon. So these are people that are posting reviews for whatever niche you're in. They're respected by people as top reviewers. They have a little icon next to their name that says, like, Jane Doe, top reviewer. And if you can find these people and then just shoot them an email, that string should help you get all their email addresses, and just shoot them an email saying you respect them. They're obviously coming really high regarded, and you would love to work with them, give them a copy of your book, and just hopefully have them review it. You'd be honored. It's a really cool way to get high respected, high leverage people to review your book. And often...
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. I would like to thank my guest, Andrea Jones. He's a business expert. He knows what he's talking about. If you're looking to run a business, if you are running a business as I speak, when you're having a difficulty in every single way, contact this guy. He knows what he's talking about. And I'm a business person, and I'm going to go to his website and download that free book, because I think we all can use some advice on how to make a business successful. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, right here. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place. And I'm also right here. Okay, we're talking about Donald Trump. I mean, this guy, everybody's talking about Donald Trump. It's just awesome the way people are trying to oust him. I agree. Donald Trump is a buffoon. He's a loon. He's a crazy man. He sounds uneducated. He talks at a third and fourth grade level. He's an entertainer. He's not presidential. He's not presidential material. He's totally unfit. But hey, wow! His supporters, they don't think so. They don't think so. We think they're crazy. They think we're crazy. So Romney is out there blasting Donald Trump, and Romney knows that Donald Trump is going to return some low blows, and Donald Trump never disappoints. Donald Trump unloaded on Mitt Romney. This is crazy. This is for the presidency of the world, and we got of the United States, and we got these two buffoons, all of these buffoon ass Republicans fighting each other, trying their best to derail, to knock out, to throw out Donald Trump. And you know what? Like I said earlier in the show, I don't think this is going to work, folks. I think this is going to backfire on the Republican establishment. I truly do. And if it does, remember, you've heard it first, right here on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And as I speak, I believe the Republicans are debating, or they're getting ready to debate. And it's four of them. I believe it's Donald Trump, Mario Rubio, John Kasich, and Ted Cruz. Just four of them. The Republican establishment would rather see Donald Duck as president, other than Donald Trump. This is what I see, because they are maddening. They don't want Donald Trump. They don't like him. They can't stand him. And the thing about it, Donald Trump has given each and every one of them money. He's given them money for their campaigns. Well, if we would have known what Donald Trump is like, we would have never took his money. We'd have turned it down. Too late. And I agree with Donald Trump. Some of these people done turned on him, boy. They done flatly on him when he helped them when they needed his help. But now he needs their help, and they're talking against him. This is crazy. I mean, where in the hell is America gone? 347-857-1762. Where in the hell has America gone? This is nutty. This is crazy. You could be president. I could be president. With these buffoons we've got running for president, this is crazy. A lot of people saying that Bernie Sanders is out of it. They are saying that he is done. Okay, my guest, Ken Elliott, we're waiting for him, but he may not show up because it's 7:05 and the show is just about over. But let me get back to Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, some people think he's too old. Some people saying he's a socialist and that's not going to make it. Some people are saying that he wants to give away, he wants to make everything free. Nothing is going to be free under Bernie Sanders, but it's nice to hear it. Because if he doesn't get if he is president, however, if he doesn't have a Democratic legislature, he ain't, all of that stuff is going to be pipe dreams. Because he, for the things he needs to get passed, he's going to need legislative cooperation. He may not even get that under a Democratic legislature. He may not even get that under that. So obviously, it doesn't seem like he's going to be president unless he starts winning some states, unless he starts beating Hillary Clinton. And I want to say this. If Hillary Clinton does win the presidency, she beats Donald Trump because he's going to get the nomination. There's no doubt about it. And he's going to get it. But if she beats him, the Republicans, whether they lose the House or the Senate, they are still going to be dogging her about her emails. They feel there is something there. Of course, they are the Republicans. They are going to be dogging her for the next 4 years or 8 years about her emails, about Benghazi. These people will not let up. They are going to be after her. And if, let's say if Bernie Sanders become president, they're going to be dogging him about being a socialist, dogging him about wanting to make college free, health care free, just like some of the other countries. They're going to be calling him a communist. They're calling him that now. And some of them feel like he's too old to be president. But the young people are gravitating towards him like crazy. Some of the women, they went for Hillary for some reason. I don't know, but I don't trust Hillary either. I'm going to tell you something. I don't trust her. And a lot of people are saying, well, George, don't bash Hillary. She might wind up being the nominee. Don't bash her. Hillary is Wall Street. Hillary is with the – Hillary's taking money from unscrupulous places. She's not getting her money the way Bernie Sanders is getting his money. She's taking money from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has poor – women's rights, you know, and she's claiming to be an advocate for women's rights when Saudi Arabia has no rights for women at all, you know. So and she's taking money from Wall Street. You know what, people are asking her to release her Wall Street speeches. You know, I like to hear those speeches too. I like to hear what you're saying to those Wall Street tycoons that are giving you millions and millions and millions of dollars. How can you take money from Wall Street and then vilify them So I would like to hear her speeches to see what exactly she's saying in order to get that money. Because they're not giving her that money if she's going to say she's going to fight them and try to ruin them or take them down. Think they're going to give her that money? If she's saying those things, no. But she acts as though when she's debating that that's what she's telling them. I'm going to take them down. I'm going to take Wall Street down. I'm going to take Goldman Sachs down. How can you take them down when they're paying your ass? They give you millions of dollars. That remains to be seen. Somehow I just don't believe that. I don't trust that. So I like some others, would love to hear her speeches to Wall Street, to Goldman Sachs, the people who are funding her campaign. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, Mitt Romney, I'm back on this because this is all over the news, willing to step in as nominee to stop Trump. He's willing to step in as the nominee to stop Trump from being president. He's going to step in. He's willing to. It doesn't say he's going to. But that's a big blow to Trump. Trump is threatening to leave the party, and if they doesn't support him, if they're trying to ruin him, he's going to leave the party and run as an independent and take all of his millions and millions of voters with him. So, folks, this is a dog fight with the Republicans. This is one dog fight. And then you got people saying that if Trump gets the nominee, you got Republicans saying if Trump's going to get the nomination, if he's going to get the nomination, they are going to vote for Hillary. They're going to vote Democratic. Staunch conservatives, real Republicans, are saying that they are going to put their money on a Democrat. They hate Trump that damn much. They hate. It's a shame, folks. It really. I mean, this is like watching a soap opera. Every day there's something new. If you want to think about it, it's not every day there's something new. Every damn second or a minute there's something new. There's something coming out of Trump's mouth. There's something coming out of the Republican establishment, their mouths, and they're fighting Trump. They don't want this guy. They are adamant of not having Trump being their nominee. And you want to know why Trump? If you think about it, Donald Trump is winning the Republican presidential primaries at such a great rate that he seems likely to become the next Republican presidential nominee and perhaps the next president. Those are the facts, folks. No matter what the Republican establishment throw at him, he is poised for this. Democrats have little understanding of why he is winning, and winning handily. And even many Republicans don't see him as a Republican, are trying to stop him, but don't know how. They don't know how to stop him. So they say Mitt Romney might step in on this. People are angry. They speak to their anger. What can I say? People don't think much of Congress. We don't. We really don't. And want a non-politician like Trump. Trump is an outsider. Trump is his own man. Trump is spending his own money. That's what people like. That's what people like. They don't want the insiders because the insiders are going to be what? They're going to be bought and paid for. They're going to be bought off. The lobbyists, the corporations, Wall Street are going to buy them off, filling these politicians' pockets with lots of money to look the other way. To say, hey, do not represent the people who voted for you. Represent us, the corporations, the rich people. And we will make sure you get elected the next time. This is what's going on now. But this is why they don't want Trump. Trump is too damn independent. He's too damn correctly. And they don't like that. People don't think much of Congress, that's true, and want a non-politician like Trump. Both of these may be true. The Democratic Party has not been taking seriously many of the reasons for Trump's support and the range that the support and the range of that support. And the media has not been discussing many of the reasons for Trump's support. That needs to change. Romney and Rubio attack Trump, and they attack Trump's university. Both are tied to predatory colleges. I don't know anything about Trump University. I've been hearing a lot of negative things about it, obviously, and Trump has not actually rebutted any of the negativity going on at his university, Trump University. And Mitt Romney said that the degrees, the college degrees, the university degrees at Trump University aren't worth crap. I've heard that before. I mean, in passing, I've heard that. But Trump has yet to address that. And you really want to talk to some students who are attending Trump University or who have graduated the university, who are now alumni. You want to hear what they say, what they have to say about the university. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. But I would love to have someone on my show from Trump University or an alumni to talk about, you know, their experiences at this particular university, Trump University. And they're saying that Trump Towers were built with illegal alien labor, probably. I'm pretty sure. Because these rich people, another way that they get rich is sending their jobs overseas or either having illegal immigrants work on their properties for 50 cents an hour. So a lot of the things that I'm saying here remain to be seen. As I said, and as I have said before, the Republicans are debating tonight as I'm on the radio, and I'm going to be I'm not going to watch it, folks. I mean, I gave up watching the Republican debate about five debates ago, you know, because it wasn't substantive. It wasn't nothing there. They didn't talk about policy. They didn't talk about issues. It was always bashing each other and looking stupid on stage and looking stupid and ignorant and saying dumb things like they were in third grade or something. It was really crazy. The last debate was crazy, and this may be crazier because Trump now has to defend himself against Mitt Romney, and I'm pretty sure the news media, the world media, is going to be all over that. But one of the things you cannot fault Trump for, Trump is a winner. He's a winner, and we all like winners. But I don't think this particular winner is fit to be president of the United States. No, I do not think Trump can be president of the United States. But that doesn't mean he will not be president of the United States. Hillary's got these emails. People are calling Sanders old. They're calling him a communist. They're calling him a socialist. The media is not covering Sanders the way the media is covering Hillary and Trump. I think Sanders is being pushed aside, even though his crowds at his rallies are a lot larger than Trump's and sometimes larger than Hillary Clinton's. All right, folks, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. Stay with me. Stay with me. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Thanks for returning. I'm back on the air. You're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I have been talking politics, folks. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. It really is. And everybody's talking Trump, so I might as well weigh in on it too, because this is what it is all about. I mean, in a negative way, in a stupid way, in a silly way, in a childish way. And as I speak, these guys are knocking each other out, and I will have clips of that on the show Monday. Okay, we're just about off the air. We got about how many minutes? 7 minutes into the show or less. And like I said, I'm on Monday through Friday. I'm off Friday, Saturday. I'm on Monday through Thursday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm off busy doing other things, like writing, for one thing. And Monday, when I'm back here on Monday, I will have clips of the debate. I will not watch it. I gave up watching this debate a long time ago, folks. I mean, I really gave it up. And those of you who are looking for Ken Elliott to show up, he had some sort of excuse. But anyway, we had Andrea Jones, and he was great. Check out his book on business. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for your kind words about my writing. It's tough. It's hard work, but it's enjoyable. I'm a storyteller, folks. I'm a storyteller. That's all I do. I just tell stories. And I've been hearing that some of those stories are very good. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for everything. Thank you for all of it. And we got about how 6 minutes. Okay, let me do this. Let's see, end of game. We can't do that. It's too long. Okay, let's see. All right. Be right back, folks. Eat! right. All right. If I wanted to leave you with anything, folks, I want to leave you with a vote. I'm in Chicago, and we have an election coming up March 15th. And whoever you want to vote for whoever you want to vote for. But the main thing is people of Illinois, please vote. Please vote. I said this a few months ago that I know that people are energized, people are excited, people want to vote. Get out there and do your duty. Because if you don't vote, the Republicans are going to take it over and they're going to ruin it. They're going to ruin it. There is no doubt about it. Some are going to agree with me, some are not. That's fine. This is just my opinion. And let's not let them do that. Get out here and do your duty. Not only vote in the primaries, vote in the general election for your president, your senator, your representative. We have to do those things, people. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. signing off until Monday. This is Thursday. I'm on the air Monday through Thursday. It's George Wilder signing off till Monday. I'm going to be doing some writing and some other things. I will see you on Monday. Thank you so much, and God bless.